all fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, welcome to another very, very, very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and this is episode 122. Do not adjust your calendars. We are once again coming at you on a Monday. Now, this is just scheduling things that happen, and sometimes we got to push to a Monday. This will probably happen in 2 weeks because for those of you that don't follow any kind of sports, although maybe you are now because maybe you're a Taylor Swift fan and have been aware of what's going on, in 2 weeks is going to be the Super Bowl. Probably not going to record on Super Bowl Sunday, but we'll see how it goes. Either way, we always keep you updated, and you know that you're going to get these weekly episodes unless I give you a good warning of some break coming up. So all that being said, let's get right into episode 122. We always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, before episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's our official Facebook page, going to keep you updated on anything and everything pertaining to Go Tell It to the Wall. And of course, our YouTube channel, for those of you that like to consume the video content, not only our video feeds from the episodes, but all kinds of other video clips, album reviews, and stuff are up there. And that would be youtube.com/gotellittothewall. Just got to kind of remember that, /gotellittothewall. Or with YouTube, you can also search us by at, you know, the little at symbol, Go Tell It to the Wall. Either one of those is going to take you straight to our YouTube channel. And make sure you subscribe and check back for our videos once they pop up. And of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is @SoCalSean, 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 right there on Instagram. So make sure you follow if you're interested in photo content. See that? We got Facebook content, audio content, video content, photo content. There's a little something for everybody. And of course, most importantly, make sure you bookmark SeanO'RourkeLive.com. Again, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's going to have links to those social platforms that I just mentioned. So if you only remember one of those, remember the website. You're also going to find exclusive content up there that we don't post anywhere else. And you're also going to find a link to our Patreon campaign, as well as our merch website if you want to support us financially. Those are the two best ways to do so. And keep in mind, you know, if it's a dollar, that's fine. Every dollar helps us out, helps keep the studio running, bringing new concepts in and all kinds of new stuff. So please consider that if you have the means to do it. And I just got to be honest with everyone. We're getting back on schedule with these episodes. And like I said, back in December, we're toying with kind of some new concepts and new episode lengths and all that kind of good stuff. But I'll be honest, I am stretching myself a little bit thin. Excuse me, Wall fans. The workload has increased drastically on everything that I'm doing. You know, months ago I started working with a design agency. That's just been eating up a lot of my time. The photo editing has been eating up a lot of time, and I've still got stuff in the hopper. And then, of course, getting all the prep for these episodes. And all of that is on top of parenting a young child who is I don't want to say she's needy, but she's got a lot of stuff going on, which we're going to go get into with parenting. It has nothing to do with her necessarily. It's just, you got to keep, at a certain age, you got to keep kids busy. All right, and before we get into that parenting stuff, we're going to talk some digital trends. This one, you may or may not have noticed, it was flying around on the social platforms, I want to say like a week ago. And I'm sure this has happened once or twice, because the funny thing is, let me preface this with, we've been talking about AI art and AI photos kind of since it started becoming mainstream and the norm. And one thing on top of what I'm going to talk about here that I've noticed is people are using AI to create like glamorous images of actresses and models and stuff. And the thing I don't get about that is these are actresses and models who take photos, you know, magazine covers and all this kind of stuff. You don't need to AI it because those photos already exist. But here, what I'm going to talk about is an example of what shouldn't be happening, among many other things when it comes to AI photography and AI art. And that would be the Taylor Swift AI photos. And you might say, oh, that's harmless, whatever, all this other stuff. But if you may have noticed about a week or so ago, some borderline pornographic photos started popping up that were clearly AI. It had Taylor Swift like painted red and wearing no clothes and all kinds of other crazy stuff. And it really took Twitter by storm. Well, of course, as you know, the Swift fans are very passionate about Taylor Swift. Understandably, she is very popular. And so they did not take it lightly. They started calling out a lot of this ridiculousness going on with the fake AI art or photos, whatever you want to call it. And like I said, these were, you know, you see some that's like harmless and it's silly. These were not harmless. These were offensive. I was about to say borderline offensive. They were offensive. And it's interesting because there's been talk of possible legal action happening. And here's something that I didn't realize but absolutely makes sense. Apparently, when you prompt these AI things, you know, artificial intelligence, they're actually able to trace it back to the person creating it. So if you're one of those people that likes to go around trolling with these AI photos, keep in mind that you're probably going to be able to trace it back to you. I wouldn't even know where to start with that stuff. I have zero interest. I see the advantages of AI. And I use it in certain things. For example, they have started integrating AI into like photo catalogs. So if you're searching for a specific photo through thousands and thousands of photos, you can put in a couple keywords and it will actually pop those photos up. It's been very beneficial for me from a photography standpoint when I'm sorting through photos, as well as when I'm trying to track down creative assets for various things, including agency work and stuff like for this podcast. So there is a good side to it, but we got to calm down with these borderline pornographic images that are being created. And honestly, you don't mess with Taylor Swift. I don't know what would possess anybody to mess with Taylor Swift and or her fans, because they will bring the hammer down on you. All right, a little more about Taylor Swift, but really pertaining to everyone's favorite train wreck. That is Lauren Boebert, Bobo, right there out of Colorado. Her name was going viral yet again, shockingly, because she did. And this one wasn't necessarily her fault. But there was a conservative pundit who came out and said, "We have our own Taylor Swift on the conservative side. Her name is Lauren Boebert." Here's the thing. Even if you're a fan of Bobo, which I don't understand why anyone would be, we are talking about a woman who doesn't really do any good for her community, has been arrested, and poses for Christmas card photos with her family all holding guns. I would not say that is anywhere near Taylor Swift by any means. Now, I'm not a huge Taylor Swift fan myself, but I respect her, and even I can sit there and say, that is not the greatest take. Maybe delete that tweet, but of course, you know, these things live on forever. I'm sure everyone screenshotted it and stuff, but the audacity to compare someone as dumb as Bobo to the very talented, uber-successful Taylor Swift is just mind-boggling. But of course, people ran with it, and fans of Taylor Swift, and I think even people who are like me, who aren't necessarily fans, but respect her and to an extent understand why she's so popular, all of them really just jumped on and said, "Are you fucking insane?" Because she is nowhere near the class and status of Taylor Swift, obviously. I mean, come on. All right, there's this video that popped up. I always talk about these stupid TikTok pranks and everything and how it's nothing good comes of it, and nothing, it's not even funny. There's a guy who decided to go into a vegan restaurant. He brought his own raw steak and then proceeded to start cooking the steak at his table where he was sitting. Now, obviously, the workers at the restaurant said, "You can't do that." Now, this is wildly offensive on so many levels. Now, first of all, you shouldn't be going into a vegan restaurant carrying a steak. You know, I am a meat eater. I don't think I could ever go vegan. You know, I've toyed with, vegetarian, maybe, still give me my cheese and eggs. But vegan would be tough for me. However, I respect people that want to be vegan. If that's your diet and that's what you want to do, that's what you would do. I would never go and eat a steak in front of somebody that's completely grossed out by that. And not only would I not do that to just anybody, but I certainly wouldn't bring it into a vegan restaurant and disrespect that restaurant. And then the most important thing to consider here is, regardless of what kind of restaurant it is, you cannot bring in your own food to a restaurant and start cooking it. It is a restaurant. It is an establishment that is there to feed you and cook your food for you and serve you the food. You cannot bring your own food. That's not how it works. So this guy just, I hope he's not running around finding all these vegan restaurants or whatever, but it was the most ridiculous video. And you could see one of the workers in the background when they first noticed this guy cooking a steak, and I'm sure they smelled it, you know, because, and again, me, I like the smell of a steak being cooked, but I can respect that someone who's vegan probably doesn't like that smell. You know, and just the look of shock that you could see in this video. So let's do better. These TikTok pranks and these YouTube pranks and all this kind of, just got to stop. It's just becoming disrespectful at this point. It's not even funny. I find no humor in that. I don't understand why anybody would find humor in that at all. And again, this is coming from someone who is very much a meat eater. But why is that funny? You're just disrespecting a restaurant. You're disrespecting people that would be there. And that's really where it should stop. And I shouldn't even have to explain more of this because this is a common sense situation. But of course, that video went viral on the social platforms. All right. You know, we often have these pop up. Hashtag National Bubble Wrap Day. Today is apparently hashtag National Bubble Wrap Day. And I was thinking about this earlier as I realized it was National Bubble Wrap Day. And this is one of those things that just never gets old. You know, you see it in commercials, adults popping bubble wrap and stuff like it's a timeless classic thing. I remember my grandfather, God rest his soul, when I was very young, teaching my cousin and I, and we probably shouldn't have been doing it. We were walking through Home Depot and there's some bubble wrap on something. And he goes, hey, check this out. He taught me how to pop bubble wraps. And of course, that's just, it's timeless, crosses multiple generations. And my kid goes absolutely nuts when there's bubble wrap. If we get a package and she sees a package being opened, immediately she, any bubble wrap in there? Got bubble wrap in there? Got bubble wrap in there? She'll take it. She'll pop it herself. She'll dance on it. It's all kinds of madness. Now, of course, I have a very sensitive, what's the word I'm looking for? Hypersensitivity to certain sounds and stuff. So it can, as much as I enjoy the bubble wrap popping, sometimes I'm like, okay, let's take a break from the bubble wrap popping, you know, cause especially around the holidays, there's all kinds of packages coming through. And I swear to God, Amazon, you'll buy like a book from them and there's like 50 pounds of bubble wrap in it. It's like, well, thanks. I think this would have been okay without this much bubble wrap, but all right. So it's just a constant stream of bubble wrap coming through. And one thing, this mainly pertains to Twitter, that I have been noticing a lot of lately is when I open Twitter, a lot of my feed is just these fight videos. Now, I know this is something that's been popular on the internet for the longest time. You had that whole World Star thing, and I never fully understood what that was. But if I open it, it's like every other tweet is people getting into a fight. And not even like funny stuff, like serious stuff. People are getting beat to heck and all. And here's the thing. I know we always say the algorithm feeds what you're getting in your social feeds. I get that. Here's the thing, Wall fans. I'm never, ever, 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 and honest to God, searching for fight videos. I don't even like watching MMA, like the UFC and stuff. Occasionally I'll watch a boxing match if it's like a real high-profile boxing match. But I'm not even one to watch sanctioned fighting, let alone, you know, teenagers fighting or adults fighting, whatever else it might be. So there's something going on with Twitter. I don't know that you can really trust the algorithm when it comes to Twitter anymore. Because, like I said, honestly, and this is, if you watch fight videos, that's fine. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. I just don't understand why I am being force-fed these videos that I have absolutely zero interest in. And, of course, that's probably the good old elongated muskrat over there pushing weird stuff that he thinks. I don't even understand. I don't understand what the hell Twitter is anymore, and it's just, yeah, I've been saying for years that it is just a mud pit in there, and it gets worse by the day, worse by the day. And that's going to actually bring me into our mental health topic for this week. I don't want to get too in-depth on this, but it does pertain to social media, and I know this is something you constantly hear, you know, turn off the social media, you know, exit out of Facebook, stop doom scrolling, all that great stuff, you know, and these are, I understand these are very stereotypical things, but it is important to remind yourself that you do need those breaks from social media, and especially, like I said, Twitter, which is just getting worse by the day. In a lot of ways, it's not great for your mental health, anybody's, let alone if you're somebody like me who suffers from a mental illness. Like obsessive compulsive disorder, it can just be 10 times worse, but it's not good for anybody to constantly be on those things. And then especially when you have an app like Twitter that is just feeding you fight videos. Yeah. Again, maybe you're into that, but if your mental health is not in a good place, fight videos are not going to be a great thing for you to be watching. We need to stay informed, you know, but this is something I always talk about. It's because it's the same thing with the news. We need to stay informed, but you need to find that balance of staying informed and taking care of your own mental health. Making sure that your well-being is being prioritized over being informed of what's going on in the world. Now, of course, I'm not saying hide under a rock and don't be informed at all. But when it starts to become detrimental to your mental health, that's when you need to put it down. Close Twitter. You know, even the news, like I said, you don't usually see positive stories in the news. That's not something that happens a lot. It's, you know, people often don't report on positive things. You know, you watch a news broadcast and let's say it's an hour-long news, local news broadcast. 55 minutes of the content is going to be bad news, and then maybe at the end they're like, look at this puppy that got adopted. You know, that's mainly bad news. And again, while you want to be informed, there's only so much you can do about all the bad news out there. So keep that in mind whenever your mental health has kind of taken a dip. If you're feeling down, things like that are not going to help you feel better. Turn on a funny movie. Listen to a song, whatever it might be. Try to detach from those things when they're not being beneficial to you. And it can be tough to look away. I get that. I mean, I find myself zoning out on social platforms just for no reason, just because I might be sitting on the couch. And it's one of these things that I remember being younger. If you watch TV, you're watching TV. Whereas nowadays, and it's not even, I won't even say just kids, teenagers and stuff. I find myself doing, I'll be watching TV and, my phone's right there. I'm like, let me do this at the same time. And I'm scrolling through stuff, watching TV, and suddenly, an hour passes. And I'm like, what the hell was I just scrolling through for an hour on my phone? So keep that in mind. It's important to take those breaks and make the breaks more common, make them more acceptable. I've talked about mental health days, and a lot of companies and organizations and people that, with others that work under them over the past few years have understood the importance of taking a mental health day. I've had a few bosses over my time that were like, take a mental health day. Don't waste these sick days, and you're technically supposed to be sick when you use a sick day. But I'll tell you, even some of the worst bosses I've had would say, use those sick days. Do you need a mental health day? And sometimes you got to take those breaks. So keep that in mind, Wall fans. As much as you can get stuck in this doom scrolling on Twitter or Facebook, or I don't know, it's probably tough to doom scroll on Instagram unless you're following like weird people that are posting inappropriate content. I don't know. Do you get fight videos on Instagram? Because I don't get that in my Instagram algorithm. I get a lot of pictures of friends on vacation, band photos, and a lot of pictures of dogs and friends' kids. That's really what I get a lot of. But again. I can't reiterate enough. Take some time, detach from it, shut your brain off. It's good to kind of find something that helps you to shut your brain off and not dwell on those things that are popping up in social media and on the news and everything else. All right, speaking of news, let's move on to some positive news. See how we do that? That's what we call in the podcast, radio, broadcast business, a transition. And I have thoroughly ruined the transition by pointing it out to all of you. But that's just how we do it here, because I'm just talking to a wall. All right. This one, probably not going to pertain to all of our listeners out there, but as you know, we here at Go Tell It to the Wall are humongous fans of the Barstool Preachers out of Brighton, England. And they've been touring around the UK a bit. Last time they were in the US was a little less than a year ago. They were here in the spring, and as we've talked, I caught them out at Punk Rock Bowling at their club show. They had a bit of a teaser of their upcoming tour. And for those of you that know that I know the boys real well and manage their fan page and everything else, this is not any inside information. In fact, I didn't even reach out to them after this. But you may have noticed, if you do follow them, that they posted a I don't even want to say it's cryptic because it was kind of obvious, but they posted a photo of them. And they said, based on this photo, can you guess what tour we're getting ready to announce soon? And that photo had in the background of that photo was the Statue of Liberty. So unless there is another country that has a replica of the Statue of Liberty, we can only assume that they are going to be coming back to the United States somewhat soon, or at least will be announcing a U.S. tour somewhat soon. And of course, fingers crossed for me personally that they will be coming to California. They love it in California, and I'm sure they will be. But that is your positive news for the week for those of you that are fans of the Barstool Preachers and live here in the U.S. I know we have a lot of listeners in the U.K. It's so funny. We talk about being spoiled here in Los Angeles, and there's certain bands that it's like we don't get tired of seeing. Some you do. There's a few bands that you can catch them at least once a month, and we get spoiled by that. But excuse me, Wall fans. I'm going to get some water here from my Go Tell It to the Wall mug. I don't know why I'm losing my voice. The same can be said for a lot of other cities, like Catbite, for example. They came to California for their first time less than a year ago, last March. But I think if you live in Philly, you're like, oh, we catch Catbite all the time. Less than Jake down there in Florida. They play a lot more stuff down there in Florida. So it's interesting how that works. But from a United States perspective, those of us that are fans of the Preachers here in the U.S., it is going to be a very exciting time when they inevitably announce that tour, and I will be yelling at them profusely if they are not coming to Southern California, because that's where I am. And they have a huge fan base here, so I can't imagine. I imagine they will be doing everything they can to get at least Southern California, if not all of California, included in that tour once it does get announced. All right, some parenting. For those of you that have kids or friends with kids, daughters specifically, you may be aware that it is officially Girl Scout cookie season. This is a little bit, I don't want to say it's stressful for me per se. There is a part of it that is stressful. And that is, when you have a Girl Scout, you tend to know other families that have Girl Scouts, and you're almost competing with all of your, mutual friends trying to get them to buy cookies. That's a bit of a challenge when it comes to that. Now, of course, family is like, oh, you know, I mean, my kids' grandparents, they give us all the cookies. But, you know, then you have neighbors and they're like, well, we know 15 Girl Scouts, you know, so maybe we'll buy one box from each of you. So you have that challenge. And the challenge, the one that gets me super stressed, is my dining room right now is full of boxes of cookies. It is like a sweet tooth's dream in my dining room right now. And don't get any ideas, because if you come to my house for some reason, you're paying for the box. I'm not giving them away. You got to pay for them, support the Girl Scouts. And then it's truly daunting. My wife, because that's the thing, Girl Scout cookie, it's wild. It's wild. And even if you don't have kids, you know, you've crossed paths with somebody that has a kid that's a Girl Scout or has sold Girl Scout cookies. It's madness how many cookies kind of cycle through all the Girl Scouts at this time of year. And in fact, my wife spent a good chunk of Saturday organizing boxes of cookies, and my kids' troop had so many boxes of cookies ordered, they actually had to rent a U-Haul to transport all these cookies, because they have to be picked up at whatever bakery or warehouse, and I'm very hands-off with this outside of having to move the boxes around that are in my house. They got to pick them up there, they take them to another location, then each Girl Scout's parent, mother, father, whoever, picks up all these cookies, brings them home, and then the troop keeps some to be sold at, like, you know when you go to the grocery store and you see kids outside selling Girl Scout cookies, there's just tons and tons of cookies. And it's madness. Like, the amount of money that cycles through the Girl Scout cookie industry, for lack of a better word, is absolutely astounding. And it also, it makes me think, because you always say, why don't they just sell them year-round? And I think this is why. And it's the same reason McDonald's just brings the McRib back every once in a while. It's like, if you have it all the time, it's not as exciting. I remember I used to be a giant fan of 805 beer, Firestone's 805 beer. It's actually a sticker on the wall. And I still enjoy it, but there was a time you could really only get it in the Central Coast. You couldn't just buy it at a store here in Southern California or Northern California. My cousin would buy like a couple cases of it. He went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, where you could get it. And if he went through there, he'd pick up a couple cases, bring them back to Northern California. Now it's in the store, all just everywhere. So it's still very good. But I don't get it as much, because it's just, you can just get it like any other beer. And I think that's kind of what goes on with the Girl Scout cookie situation there. You got to limit it. Otherwise, people get spoiled and then they won't buy boxes upon boxes. They'll just buy one box a month or something like that. So it's an interesting study to see how that works, and the fandom over Girl Scout cookies and people buying boxes upon boxes and freezing them and stuff. And in fact, we still have some Thin Mints frozen in our freezer, as opposed to frozen in our pantry. Like I have to specify freezer there, from last year. It's like, we still got these in the freezer, and now there's more boxes coming. Please, if you don't hear from me for a couple weeks, I have died under a avalanche of Girl Scout cookie boxes. And here's another challenge, speaking of Girl Scouts and certain activities, that I think a lot of parents can relate to, is the balance of keeping your kid active and entertained and overdoing it with activities. And we've hit a point with the age of my kid and trying to find that balance, and also trying to see what she likes the most. Like, we're doing this parade of dance classes now. She's been doing dance for a few years now, but now she's getting to the age where it's like, okay, doing general dance classes, like jazz dance, and there's a little bit of tap at one point, but now it's like, well, what do you like the most? So we're trying out ballet and tap and everything else. And then it comes to sports. We're trying out tennis and volleyball. And, and I often find myself being, and I'll say it to my wife, I'm like, okay, are we doing a little too much here? And it's tough to tell, but I think you just kind of got to communicate with your kids. And if you see them just completely exhausted, you want your kids to be tired. Trust me. I know parents out there can relate. You don't want, you want to wear them out. You want to keep them active so that they're stimulated and then they get rest at night and all that other great stuff. But I think if you see them being too tired, then maybe back off on the activities a little bit. And you want them to try lots of things, like I said, and kind of find out what they enjoy the most. Because not every kid is exactly the same. You know, when I was a kid, every kid tried soccer and you tried t-ball and, you know, whatever else, and or instruments, whatever it might be. You can't do all of it. And this is not one of those things of where I'm saying, well, if your kid is good at sports, you make them play that specific sport all the time. No. But the balance of keeping them active and focusing on what they are enjoying the most. And I think that's a good thing to keep in mind as a parent, or even if you have friends that are parents and you know their kids, maybe you're close with their kids, whatever it might be, keep those things in mind, you know. And one last thing I want to talk about, just a quick tip for everyone. If you haven't heard of this movie on Netflix, there's a movie called Leo, L-E-O. It's actually an Adam Sandler movie. For those of you not aware, he's got a huge contract with Netflix. That's why you see a lot of Adam Sandler movies and content coming out on Netflix. It's an animated movie about a specific kind of lizard. It's not an iguana, but it's some specific kind of lizard voiced by Adam Sandler. He has a friend who is a turtle or a tortoise who is voiced by Bill Burr. So obviously we've got some comedy chops going in there. My family took time on Saturday to watch the movie. My kid wanted to watch it, and highly, highly recommend it. If you haven't seen it yet, it's one of those films that it harkens back to the older Disney films where, you know, it wasn't inappropriate comedy for kids, but it had stuff that adults could appreciate. And this Leo is definitely another example of that, where it's kind of fun for the whole family. You're not stuck just watching something with your kid that you won't enjoy. You're most likely also going to enjoy it as well as your kids. So highly, highly recommend that. It's on Netflix. Everybody's got Netflix, so check that one out. Even if you don't have kids, Leo is a worthwhile watch for an animated movie. But it is kid friendly. It's rated G. It's one of those good ones that you can enjoy either alone or with your kids. So check it out on Netflix. All right, let's talk some common sense. Whoa, we had a good one just in the past couple days, actually. So the Orange Menace. And got slapped with yet another fine, and this is the E. Jean Carroll case, where he got hit with another $83 million fine that he's got to pay to this woman. A lot of it has to do with him not being able to keep his mouth shut for defamation and all kinds of other stuff. And honestly, I don't care enough to follow the case that closely, but we're just seeing more examples of how the Orange Menace simply cannot keep his mouth shut. This is a great example of the old adage, fuck around and find out. He fucked around. He's finding out right now by having to pay $83 million. And I think we're going to find out just how not rich the Orange Menace is, because that's a lot of fucking money. A lot of money. All right, speaking of ridiculousness, there was a debate in Colorado recently in the district where Bobo resides and where she would be running for re-election. And there's no reason to get into details on this. I really don't give a shit. A bunch of morons sitting up there, I'm sure, if they're having a debate with Bobo. One key thing, though, is they were asked at some point if any of them have been arrested. And I can't remember the exact number, but I want to say there was like 7 to 9 people up there. And it was like 5 to 7 of those people raised their hands. They all high-fived each other for having been arrested. And then the crowd cheered for them for having been arrested. Now, I don't know what kind of community you live in, but most people I know, in fact, all people I know, would not be very, very proud of being arrested. And most importantly, we often hear this adage, Republican Party is the party of law and order. And to that I say, law and order, my ass, because you have multiple people in the GOP high-fiving and getting cheered because they've been arrested. Again, I don't know what kind of community you live in, but most people I know have not been arrested. You know, of course, this happens occasionally. I've never been arrested. And I'm not even going to knock on wood because I don't do anything that would get my ass arrested. I might get sued for some of the dumb shit I say yelling at a wall here. But I'm not getting arrested. All right, a little more common sense here. This one happened a little while ago when I had forgotten to kind of throw it in the past couple episodes. But it was another viral video that went around. And this was similar to what we talked about last episode with the woman who decided to go into the gym with a painted on outfit. And it's like asking for sympathy, nobody giving sympathy. There was a video of these gentlemen that were at Top Golf or whatever that thing is, Top Golf, or, you know, the golf thing where you can use multiple levels and it's like a driving range, but they have, you know, points and whatever else. I've done it once. I'm not a big golfer, but, you know, it's fun. They were actually pouring cough syrup into their drink cups. And then they got in trouble with the people, the employees that worked there, because you cannot start chugging cough syrup in a recreational manner in a public place like that. And, you know, a place, not only that, but a place that sells drinks. And here's the thing. The gentlemen that were doing this were, they were people of color. So they posted a video and they said, "This is racism for not letting us drink cough syrup like crazy at Top Golf." And it's like, sir, first of all, you have a problem if you're chugging cough syrup to have fun at a golf driving range. Second of all, it doesn't matter what color you are. Bars and restaurants that sell alcoholic beverages do not let you bring in your own alcoholic beverages, let alone cough syrup. So, of course, these gentlemen got dragged a bit because they're like, yo, that's not racism. That's just you being stupid. So I guess keep that in mind, Wall fans. Don't bring cough syrup to Top Golf and start chugging it because you're going to get kicked out. I didn't know that was something that had to be said, but apparently it is something that has to be said. All right, we got an atmospheric river. Oh boy, up in the, you know what atmospheric means? It's up in the sky. I know. I honestly, you wouldn't think river in the sky, but that's what we got coming to California at the end of this week. So brace yourselves. We here in California, most people, you know, I'm fortunate enough. I've talked about this before because we're getting rain. Think last episode. I'm pretty decent at driving in the rain. I've done it a lot. However, most people, especially in Southern California, and in Northern California, a little different. They get a lot more rain up there. Southern California, all hell breaks loose when it starts to rain. And now we have this atmospheric river coming in, so brace yourself for lots of posts about rain, lots of cars flooding, and probably lots of idiots not knowing how to drive in the rain. And most importantly, if you live in California, when this atmospheric river starts to hit and the rain goes crazy, be safe out there. It's not worth being, you know, it's better to be 5 minutes late somewhere than it is to get into an accident. That's just common sense. So keep that in mind. Be safe out there if you are in an area that's going to get hit with this atmospheric river. I laugh because you hear these things like, what was it, bomb? We had a bomb cyclone, atmospheric rivers. Like, Jesus Christ, what is going on? I can tell you what's going on. It's climate change, and it's not a good thing. All right, a couple more things here for common sense. Texas, they are talking once again about seceding. This time it's over the manufactured border crisis. For those of you not watching the video feed, that's in finger quotes, border crisis there in Texas. And there's a lot of talk of secession. And all I think about when I see this bubble up every few months or years is it's like Groundhog Day, the movie Groundhog Day, not the holiday Groundhog Day. And Bill Murray says, well, it's Groundhog Day again. And this is, well, Texas wants to secede again. And of course, nothing's going to happen from this. It's just here we are again with these threats. And then everyone will forget about it. They'll stop. It'll get out of the news cycle. Politicians will realize they can stop talking about the border crisis for a little while. And then the talk of Texas seceding from the United States will then cease until the next time when politicians need to get people in Texas riled up about something regarding politics. It's all politics. All right. Last thing here in common sense. Then we got a little bit of entertainment news. Then we're going to wrap up episode 122. So SeaWorld Orlando, they have put out a new cheeseburger. Now, apparently, from what I've read, this was a holiday item that they did around the holidays. Holiday item at the holidays, just in case you needed that specified. Sorry, Wall fans. They decided to now do it year-round for all of the guests at SeaWorld Orlando. Here's the kicker with this. It's a cheeseburger. But instead of getting a burger with cheese on it, like you often do at any restaurant that has a cheeseburger, they give you a hamburger, and it comes with a plastic syringe of warm cheese that you then inject onto the cheeseburger itself. Now, you might say, well, that's more of a Halloween thing. I don't know why it was a holiday thing. Here's the irony of it, though. We constantly hear, I got to use fucking paper straws, and I'll do it. And reusable straws. You can't have straws because the plastic ends up in the ocean. So, you get where I'm going here, Wall fans? So SeaWorld, who is supposed to be all about ocean conservation, is wasting plastic. It's a plastic syringe. So every single cheeseburger comes with this plastic syringe that they squirt the cheese out, and then the damn thing gets thrown away. They're not recycling these. They're not taking them, washing them, and using them for the next cheeseburger. No, it's all going into the landfill and then probably ending up in the ocean. So the irony behind that is absolutely mind-blowing, as we here in Southern California have to use soggy paper straws out there in Florida at a place that is supposed to be conserving the oceans is just wasting plastic left and right. So I advise you, if you go to SeaWorld Orlando, don't order that, or just see if they can put the cheese on it instead of wasting the damn plastic syringe. All right, a little bit of entertainment news, and then we're going to wrap it up for the week. All right, for those of you not aware, the Super Bowl teams have been set. That's right. We got what a lot of people wanted, and I'm sure the NFL wanted, because apparently, from what I've read, Taylor Swift being involved with Travis Kelce and being a fan of the NFL has brought in an extra like $330 million worth of revenue for the NFL. And we're talking about the NFL, the league in the U.S. that basically prints money. They make money hand over fist. Everybody involved with that, they're making money. It's just, that's how it is. So we got that. On one side, we have the Kansas City Chiefs. And on the other side, we have the San Francisco 49ers. For those of you that were aware of the whole logo thing that they said was a conspiracy, because for 3 years, they do a different Super Bowl logo every year. It's very similar looking, but they change the colors, and then it's Roman numerals, so they change the numbers. For like the last three Super Bowls, the two colors in the logo matched each team that played in the Super Bowl. So this year, it was red and purple. A lot of people were predicting not me being in the Super Bowl because of my purple hair, but the San Francisco 49ers, whose color scheme is red, and the Baltimore Ravens, whose color scheme is purple. So that's been debunked, because now we have two teams whose color scheme really involves red, red and white, and a little bit of yellow, and then red and gold and white. Everyone's got a little bit of white in their uniforms, like they wear white jerseys, white pants, whatever it might be. Personally, I didn't have any dog in the fight. I'm a Patriots fan. I am also a Rams fan because I live here in Los Angeles and have lived here the majority of my life. And I'm a Patriots fan because my father grew up in Boston. I grew up a Patriots fan. But I was kind of rooting for those of you not aware, obviously Taylor Swift is a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs because of her boyfriend Travis Kelce, who plays for the Chiefs. But the Detroit Lions lost to the San Francisco 49ers yesterday, the 49ers making it to the Super Bowl. But, of course, Detroit, if you're not familiar with this, the rapper Eminem is from Detroit and is a very, very, very big Lions fan. So I was kind of looking forward to, like, a Taylor Swift versus Eminem Super Bowl. And not that I wanted them to, like, fight or anything. It just would have been this interesting juxtaposition of a pop singer and a rapper, from each city, and just would have been a lot of fun. But those teams have been set. Even for those of you that don't follow sports at all, you know, 2 weeks from now, one day less than 2 weeks from now, you're probably going to be near a television, gorging on food. Maybe you're interested in the commercials. Maybe you're interested in the halftime show. But it is a bit of a national holiday here in the U.S. And trust me, I know lots of, like my wife always says, she's like, I'm just here for the food. And it's like, I enjoy watching the sport, but I also am there a lot of times for the food. You get a lot of good food at Super Bowl parties. A nice little spread there. You know, you gorge yourself a little bit and regret it the next day, especially being a Monday. But it's all kind of part of the American pastime that is the Super Bowl. All right, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Oh, my. Now, I am a huge Ghostbusters fan. I have been ever since I was a kid. Saw Ghostbusters as a kid. We took a trip to New York and literally sat. We dined at Tavern on the Green when I was a kid and sat in front of the window that Rick Moranis's character bangs on when he's being chased by the crazy demonic dog. That's how obsessed I am and was with Ghostbusters. And we have yet another film coming out. I've enjoyed every single Ghostbusters film. I love the reboot that was all women. Afterlife was fantastic. And now we have a new one coming out. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. The trailer has dropped. If you haven't seen it and you're a Ghostbusters fan, make sure you search that one. I'll be counting down the days. Might be a return to the theater for me, because I have not been to the theater in years. I'm not a very good film school graduate. I tend to watch the things at home, but maybe I'll get myself to the theater for that one when it does hit theaters. And actually, there's a show on Disney Plus. If you're into the Marvel stuff, or even if you're a casual Marvel fan like myself, I can't do the whole multiverse. It's too much to keep track of. I've talked about that on the podcast. They dropped a new show a few weeks ago called Echo, and it features a Marvel character that was in comic books. She is deaf, and she is not only deaf, but also is an amputee, has one leg. And I was watching this, and as I'm watching, I'm going, and it's a short, it's like a 5-episode. I don't even know if they're doing a second season. It's a great show overall. Vincent D'Onofrio is fantastic. The actress who plays Echo is fantastic. There's a lot of great acting in it, a lot of great action. It is a little more violent than most Marvel content that you're going to see, and they definitely present it that way. They say this is definitely for more mature audiences as opposed to like Avengers and stuff. But as I was watching it, I was like, this is interesting. That's a lot of creative effects if she isn't actually an amputee because she takes her leg off at part, you know. And I'm not spoiling anything by telling you she's an amputee and deaf. That is the comic book character. But I, out of curiosity, I pulled up IMDb. I said, who is this, you know? And I looked, and sure enough, she is in real life. The actress is in real life, has been deaf since birth. She plays an indigenous character. She was actually, is in fact actually indigenous, was raised in an indigenous area in, forgive me, Wall fans, in the Midwest. I want to say like Milwaukee. And then of course, for you Wayne's World fans, Milwaukee. That is not an offensive thing. That's Alice Cooper on Wayne's World for those of you that are old enough to know what the hell I'm talking about. But I believe it was that area. And on top of actually being deaf in real life, she is an actual amputee. So I had a lot of respect for Disney and Marvel for casting somebody that's actually fit to that role. You know, we hear this all the time, you know, a certain race is being cast as a different race. And it's like, well, why couldn't you cast a Chinese person for this Chinese role instead of this white person? They really hit the mark on all three with Echo. And if you have Disney Plus, I would recommend checking that one out. That one is not for the kids. You got to make sure you're on the adult profile. You know, we have multiple profiles on mine, so the kid can't get to stuff like Echo. You know, so it's going to be on the, you got to set your thing to mature audiences or however that is. All right, last thing I'm gonna leave you with is I'm trying to get back to the listening to lately segment, which isn't a huge segment, but it's just something I like to give out as tips if you haven't heard of them. And this band actually was in my top 10 albums of 2023. It is a band called Knot. They have an album. They have their first singular first album that came out last year, and I have been listening to it. Like, I was listening to it last year, but recently over the past few weeks, I've been listening to it even more, and I think it just gets kind of better and better and better the more I listen to it. I cannot recommend the band Knot enough. Okay. I cannot. I'm cracking myself up here, Wall fans. I cannot recommend Knot enough to all of you if you have not heard Knot. In fact, I have multiple friends who have been very much into Knot, and actually a good friend of mine who does like a 50 album countdown had Knot as his number one album of 2023, and very much warranted for that to be the number one album of 2023. So make sure you're checking them out. You can pick it up on vinyl, I believe, through their website. They got it on Bandcamp. I, of course, buy all my music digitally for the most part, and so it's available on iTunes, and I'm sure it's on Spotify, too. I don't use the Spotify stuff. I prefer to buy the albums. That's the best way to support the band. I picked up a t-shirt back in December when I saw them live at Garden Amp. So make sure you're checking out Knot. All right, on that note, we're going to wrap up episode 122 of Common Sense Sundays. We should be back in the studio next Sunday. I don't foresee any scheduling conflicts, but of course, make sure you're staying up to date on the social platforms to know when new episodes are coming out. Speaking of social platforms, you can keep up with us in multiple locations, as I always say. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. Again, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. Our official YouTube channel, youtube.com/gotellittothewall, or at gotellittothewall right there on YouTube. And of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is @SoCalSean, SoCalSean, @SoCalSean. Lots of photo content is coming up through there, and you might have noticed a lot of content that's coming through me for my design agency that I work with. There's a lot of that stuff coming up there, and depending on what you're into, you might also enjoy a lot of that content. And don't forget to bookmark SeanOrWorkLive.com, where you'll find links to those social platforms as well as exclusive content that doesn't get posted anywhere else except on the website. And please, if you have the means to do so and want to support us financially, you can do that in two ways. One of those would be Patreon, which links directly from SeanOrWorkLive.com, or our merch website, which also links directly from SeanOrWorkLive.com. All right, as I said, that is going to do it for episode 122 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. We will be back next week, same wall place, same wall time. And until then, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, remember, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you go, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.